It's very difficult for me to follow that. We should have done me, then the choir. But they will be back, so don't worry. I said to Mel this morning, I said, you know, today is going to be a good day. I woke up this morning early while it was still dark, and I was looking out, and you can see, obviously, you can hear the geese starting to come back. It's starting to be spring. There is a new dawn. But today, my declaration is that today is going to be a good day. And my wife comes in, she's like, of course it's going to be a good day. No matter what you say, there's a choir, so it's okay, right? But the fact is today, I'm telling you that you need to step into the fact that there is a resurrection power at work. You know, we stand over here, and very often when we're hosting, and it's a regular Sunday, you've got people coming in and dribs and drabs past 10. Well, we could have started the service at 9:45 this morning, just if you felt the energy that was here, and there was an excitement, there was an anticipation. And I like to believe, and I'm going to declare it, that it's the resurrection power that is in the sanctuary this morning. So we get to declare that Jesus is risen this morning. This is Easter Sunday. He is risen. Can you all say with me, He is risen? Yes, He has. And as I stand and as I prepare and as I get ready to share with you this morning, my heart was filled with an anticipation of just having the privilege to share on a morning like this, where I know that there are guests and I know that there are loved ones that are coming around. And I was just filled with an expectation of what God wants to speak this morning. And if we go back to the resurrection, there is this concept of a stone being rolled away. And I always think, because if you read in John 20, the doors were closed in the room and Jesus just appears. So it's not like Jesus needed the stone to roll away to come out of the tomb. But the stone was rolled away so that we could look in. The stone was blasted away so we could step in and realize that Jesus had risen. And this is a game changer. You need to understand that what Jesus being risen is a game changer in the context of our faith, right? For there is a lot of historical accounts that doesn't dispute that Jesus is a person that walked this earth. There is a lot that says Jesus was a person that walked this earth. But key to our faith is Jesus was not just a prophet. He was not just a cool Jewish guy. He was not just one that ruffed the feathers of the Pharisees. He was a man, God made into man, who died on a cross, who was buried and was risen. And we declare that as part of our faith, and that is why it's a game changer. So we can stand here this morning and we can say that the stone is rolled away and He is risen. But as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, when you look at the resurrection, I think that just like the stone being rolled away, God wants us to step in and see more. I believe that this morning, God wants us to see more about what that resurrection power means for you and for me. Right, and there's three points. With me, if you're visiting for the first time, you know there's always just going to be 3 points, so don't worry. But there's 3 points I want to share with you this morning that really speak to the resurrection power that is at work in your life and in mine. And you need to understand that the resurrection power that was there 2,000 years ago is the same resurrection power that is here this morning. Is the same resurrection power that is in your heart if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Right, so you with me?
Yes.
Good. Let's do this. Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You that You have risen. I thank You that the story didn't end on Friday, but it began today. And Lord, I pray that Your resurrection power would move here this morning. Move in the hearts of the people, move in their ears, move in their eyes, that they would see You in a different light. Lord, I pray that we don't leave here this morning not changed. Lord, I pray that there would be a move here this morning that changes everyone by the power of the resurrection spirit that is moving here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want you to come with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we're going to pick up from verse 4, and I want to ground this morning. And there are accounts in John. I've been going between the two of them, but this one really sums it up. And where I want to frame this morning, for those of you who don't know the story, I'm going to share the story right here about what just happened 2,000 years ago. Right, so Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day, in John it speaks about it was still dark, but toward the dawn, so no, it was dark, of the first day of the week. So it is dark in the first day. Those are clues I'm going to come back to. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Behold, the word is, guys, grasp this. There was something significant. Get this. There was an earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat in it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Say with me, "He is risen."
He is risen.
As he said, "Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen." Say, "He is risen."
He is risen.
"From the dead." Say, "He is risen from the dead."
"He is risen from the dead."
"I have told you, so that you departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And behold," get this, "Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.'" Can you imagine? "And they came up and took hold of his feet. They grasped at his feet and worshipped him," just like we worshipped this morning. Jesus, bless this word. 3 points. 3 points over this that we need to speak about this morning. And I'm telling you now, it's going to change your perspective about the power of the resurrection and what that power means for you all sitting here this morning. The first thing is that God rewrites what we think is finished. From the beginning of time, when it was dark, before God spoke the words, "Let there be light," God had a plan. And he spoke these words, and as soon as creation was made, creation, according to God's imagination and us being made in his image, when creation was there, there was an enemy that was at work to bring death where there was light. Death where there was life. You think about just as soon as that garden was there, another clue, I'm going to come back to the garden now. That garden was there, and in there was Adam and Eve, and in came the enemy like a serpent coming down a tree, tempting them. They fell, and in that moment, there was doubt. There was death, there was sin, and there was consequences. For a moment, just think, as soon as creation, fresh creation, Adam and Eve are packing their bags. They wouldn't have had to pack bags, but now you think they're collecting the fig leaves that they have to put in a bag, walking out as the gates of the garden are closed, most likely looking at each other as they're standing on thorns, as they're sweating from their brow, as they're experiencing the pain of being detached from God, probably saying to each other, "It's finished. We're done." And fast forward to the Gospels, Luke and Matthew, stood in order, Matthew and Luke, and it speaks about the birth of the Messiah. The birth of the Messiah coming through a virgin womb. It's important. It's another clue. Laying in swaddling cloth. Another clue. In a manger. And what you need to understand is that a manger is not what we see in Christmas cards or the nice manger that Len and Eric made over here that we show Christmas time. It's actually something that's carved out of stone. It's a watering trough. It's another clue. And there Jesus lay, the light of the world. As Isaiah had prophesied many years ago that there would be a lightness that breaks the darkness. But as soon as Jesus lay there in the manger, Part of the redemption plan, the enemy is at work. King Herod, he orders all boys under 2 need to be massacred, slaughtered. For those of you who don't know, that means killed, dead, finished. Because he didn't want the new king of Jews to come to rise. He wanted to control. Again, the enemy at work. Can you just imagine the mothers and the fathers and the loved ones? Can you just imagine the cries that you would hear as the soldiers executed that order of massacring all the boys under 2 years old? I couldn't imagine it. I held Julia last night extra tight, and I think that's why she didn't sleep. And I know she's a girl, but it's the same principle. It is life. Dead. These parents walking away, looking at their boys with lifeless bodies, saying, it's finished. And then we fast forward to Friday, Good Friday. Jesus on the cross. Jesus' hands pierced onto a tree. Blood poured out, a body broken. And he utters the words in John 19, verse 30, saying, it is finished. Just for a moment, imagine those disciples that followed Jesus for 3 years, faithfully following him, listening to their rabbi pinned on a tree, saying, it is finished. They've believed every word he said. Do you not think they would have believed that it is finished? And they maybe would have internalized the fact that we are done. We have followed something. What happens now? And those that were there around, that were still there, who hadn't scattered out of fear, would have been devastated at the understanding that it is finished. But God. But God. Say with me this morning, but God. It's powerful because we're speaking about a resurrection power. But God. God is intentional. The author, the redeemer. He's intentional what he does. Of course, he could have just changed and he could have intervened, but he had a redemption plan at play. And the master author doesn't just do it. He does it with intention. And I believe he did it with a sense of humor to just stick it to the enemy and say, I'm going to go and rewrite what everybody thought was finished. So he sits down and he gets massive paper. And I had this image yesterday afternoon. And he takes out his quill and he dicks it on his tongue. And he starts to write out the story again. And in there, let's set the scene. It's dark. That's what John says. That's what Matthew says. It's just before dawn. It's dark. And in a virgin tomb, stone, rock that's been carved out, lays Jesus in these linen cloths. Sound familiar? In a garden. Sound familiar? All of a sudden, a mighty earthquake comes on the backdrop of that scene. The stone rolls away and Jesus walks out. And there is resurrection. The core centerpiece to what we believe. What you believe and what I believe as Christians is just unfolded. So much so that the soldiers that had one job to look after a dead body are so shocked they stand there like dead men. Oh my word, can you just imagine watching them? What on earth is going on? And there, the whole resurrection story starts to unfold. But there's a clue. I want to go back to Matthew 27. You think again, Matthew 27 verses 53. Look at this little gem. And where we go, let's go back to 52. Actually, let's go back to 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn. This is Friday. From the top to the bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. Yeah. Here we go. This is God just laughing and saying, man, where you think there is death, I'm going to bring life. And it says here, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. when the resurrection and the coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. There's two times in the 14 years that I've been here. For those of you who don't know, I'm from South Africa. My family, my mom, my dad, my sisters, they live in South Africa. There's two times in 14 years that I've gone back and I've surprised them. Just rocked up there. One day, I stood there with two bouquets of flowers at the malls. I creepily followed my sister and my mom to the mall. And I stood there at the top of the escalator waiting for them to realize it was Pete and he'd come home. And everyone asked me, was I going to propose? And I was like, this is my sister. Don't make it weird, but let's not lose the moment. They came up the escalator and they're like, it's Pete. And to see their face just turn and say, man, what are you doing here? And I did it to my dad when he turned 70. I rocked up over there and there was this surprise at his birthday, and there I was standing. And I can just remember the amazement. But can you imagine people who were dead, followers of Jesus, who were dead in their tombs by the power of the resurrection, was not just for Jesus, but those who followed him during that time. The rocks were rolled away and these mummies came out and said, hallelujah, I am alive. Can you imagine the fathers and the mothers who come out there and they say, my goodness, it's Pete, he is alive. It's Johan, he is alive. It's Victory, she is alive. Can you imagine the faith that is stirred? Can you imagine the stories that were told? I can confirm Yarizi's death certificate. He is dead, but Yarizi's alive. Let me tell you the story again. Let me go and tell everybody else who wants to hear that they are alive. And that is the power of the resurrection and how that moved at that time 2,000 years ago. And that same power that moved and opened those tombs, that spurred those people on into the holy city, they would have gone in and they would have preached life. I am alive. And faith would have been stirred. I want to ask you this morning, where in your life do you think something is finished? Where in your life do you believe there is a situation where the words, it is finished, have been spoken over your life, or you've spoken into a situation? I want to tell you, if you look at the resurrection, I'm telling you, we serve a God that is saying, I rewrite stories that you think are finished. You're in a work situation. You're in a marriage. You're in some heavy thing where it might be health. It might be finances. It might be your reputation. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. You might say, I'm stuck in a corner and I am done. I am facing who knows what and I am done. God writing the story of your life to say, it's not done. It's just beginning. And I want to declare that this morning. If there is ever a Sunday that you need to hear that the resurrection power can move over your circumstance, it's this morning. All right. Can you say with me, he's risen?
He's risen.
All right. My second point. Our scars are reminders. They're not definers.
Very good.
John 20:20. Jesus is in the, it's not there, Addy. Just, you can just go back to the point, thanks. John 20:20. The disciples are in the room and Jesus walks in and he shows them his hands and he shows them the side. And they are stirred with faith. And I asked myself when looking at this conundrum, like why is it that Jesus, who could give sight to the blind, Jesus who could give the walking to the lame, and Jesus just by a woman touching the tassels of his cloak could be healed from her 12 years of bleeding. Why is it that Jesus could come at the tomb and he's got scars? It's strange. Don't you think that at least there could have been a move over his hands and a move by his side? And the reason why for me is that scars tell a story. And there's a tension in that story. right? There's a tension in the story where scars point to pain that was had. But there's also scars speak to healing that happened. Pain that was and healing that is. And that there is something that can spur on a testimony of God's healing power on our lives. We are called to remember. When we do communion, there is a statement of do this in remembrance of me. We remember that because we need to understand that the grace and the salvation that is freely available to us by making Jesus as our Lord and Savior was certainly not free. Pain occurred. A body was broken. Blood was poured out. But if Jesus found himself standing in Friday and never moved on to Sunday, he would never be able to step into the victory that God had for him. He'd never be able to step into the plan that God had for him, the resurrection power. And we need to ask ourselves, how do we view scars? Where are you on the spectrum of the pain versus the healing? Are your scars still painful? Let me tell you, if it's still painful, maybe the wound is still there. But I'm telling you that the resurrection power of the Father can bring healing this morning. There could still be pain because maybe you're still scratching at the wound. I always tell my kids, stop picking your scabs. But we do that. We do that physically. We do that spiritually. We just pick at our scabs the whole time. And as long as you're picking, there's no healing. And we get stuck in the pain. We get stuck in Friday when we need to be stepping into the victory on Sunday. And I'm going to ask you is how many of you use your scars as an excuse? How many of you say, well, you know, it's a wound. I can't do anything. It happened in 1973. It was painful. I can't. But thanks for asking. Someone else can do that. How many of you are limiting the power of Jesus to move in your life with a powerful testimony and a powerful plan and a powerful promise by you holding back, being limited by an excuse over your scars? How many of you are using your scars for testimonies? How many of you are standing here today and saying, I need to tell you about 1973 where I was healed? I need to tell you about 1973 where there was healing of my pain, healing of my circumstances, healing of my life that I could walk out and live in the purpose and the victory that God has for me. You can't get stuck on Friday. We are called to remember it is not free. It was painful. It was brutal. There was death. But there is Sunday. And as long as we're stuck there, we can't step into the victory that is here for us. We cannot step into the resurrection power that is accessible to each of you here this morning. So I challenge you in what are you doing with your scars? And I promise you that there is healing where there is pain. This morning, you more than any Sunday have the ability to step into that resurrection power and find healing so that you can give others hope. All right, my last point. You guys still with me? I too am excited for the choir. My last point, and this is a deeply intimate point. Can you say with me that Jesus has risen?
Jesus has risen.
Jesus has risen. Man, today is going to be a good day, and I just don't want to brush past it. Can't believe I'm at the third point already. whole morning I've been emotional. The whole morning I've been praying for you. The whole morning I've had the sense of expectation for what Jesus wants to do in your life. We can't just rush past things. We can't just rush past moments. The power of the resurrection is available to each of us here this morning. And all we have to do is step into it. All we have to do is step into it. I haven't even got to my summary. But I just don't want us to miss it. I just don't want us to go past the next point without us understanding just what happened 2,000 years ago. And it becomes a distant memory that we read about. But guys, it is alive here this morning. It is alive here this morning. And some of you find yourself in a situation where it is dark, just like before the sun rose that morning. And with this, you need to hear this point, that when Jesus calls your name, he becomes clear. When Jesus calls your name, it becomes clear. I want you to come with me to John 20. John 20, verses 11. This is a deeply personal encounter with Jesus on that first Sunday. Verse 11. Understand, if you go back into the text, the other disciples ran away and Mary stood there. Understand that Mary, throughout the death, throughout the burial, clung on to that tomb. There is text that shows that even when they rolled away the stone, she stood opposite the tomb and watched. She clung onto her Lord like you cannot believe. And now she steps in and her Lord is gone. And with that comes in verse 11. And it says here, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one on the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, I tell my wife all the time that woman is angelic language. Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, capital L, my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. She's distressed. Having said that, she turns around and sees Jesus. She saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, I remind my wife, when I call her that, it's godly language. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. We're going to stop there. Mary has followed Jesus for 3 years, faithfully calling. Addie, you can go back just to the summary, the summary verse over there, please. Up, yeah. The point, up. Yeah, thank you. Mary finds herself following Jesus, clinging on to the tomb, clinging on to, she's there when he dies, she's there when he's buried, and she is distressed. It is dark. In John 20, when you hear about the resurrection, it doesn't say it was just before dawn. It says it was dark. And she goes there, and her Lord, her Jesus, let's make this really personal, her Jesus was missing. For her, she's looking around. She's distressed. She's grieving. She's not confused. She's grieving. They speak about her weeping. They speak about her looking around. She doesn't even recognize Jesus when Jesus is speaking. And she stands there with tears in her eyes and they ask, woman, why are you weeping? And she says, because they've taken my Lord away. Still clinging on to a reality that she has established. A reality that is constructed of what should have happened. Of how it should have looked. And when it didn't translate into her reality, she's left despondent and in despair. And then she turns and they say, and she sees Jesus. And Jesus says to her first, woman, why are you crying? And she says, please, just tell me where he is. I want to go and get his body. And in her head, as she's weeping, she's still holding onto the dead Jesus. And then Jesus turns around and says to her in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned around in Aramaic, she said, Rabbi. Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I have ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. She goes from clinging to the tomb to clinging to Jesus. This is a dark moment for her. This is a dark moment. Physically, spiritually, she is wrestling. She's weeping. Everything she expected has fallen to pieces. She cannot see. She is grieving. And then Jesus calls her by her name and says, Mary. And she recognizes him. How many of you find yourself in a dark situation this morning? How many of you find yourself pre the dawn of a new circumstance and you're waiting and you are desperate and you are grieving and you're asking where Jesus is? But in your grief and in your circumstance, you don't even recognize that Jesus is speaking right at you. And I want to tell you, when Jesus utters the words of her name, there is a radical realization of her rabbi. And I'm telling you this morning that when you find yourself in a dark situation where it may seem hopeless, where you are clinging on to a reality that is no longer existent, but God wants to give you more, sometimes just hearing Jesus call your name is important. And the only way that you're going to understand that Jesus is calling your name is by a relationship with him. How is your relationship with Jesus? That you may hear his voice when things are dark. That in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of possible confusion, you may be led by the voice that is simply calling your name. Maya. Roanne, I see you behind Tasha there, but I'll call you too, Tasha. I can go after each one. Lise. Jesus calling the name Lise this morning. Pulling you out of circumstance. Robert, and hopefully my little daughter who's crying in the back there that I can hear. Jesus is calling your name, and when you have a relationship with him, you understand his voice and will pull you out of that circumstance. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I want to bring this all together with where I started this morning. Addie, now you can bring that last summary one. This is a cheeky fourth point, but it's not really a fourth point. It's a summary. only Len hands out the free ones. I have to charge you for this. It's going to take a couple minutes. The same power that raised Jesus is the same living power that is accessible in your life today.
Yes, amen. Amen.
You need to understand that that is not small power. That literally took things that were dead and are now living. And that same power is at work in each of your lives if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. That same resurrection power that is moving here this morning and that is moving in your life is writing new stories. Stories or chapters, let's say chapters, where you thought that it was done, where you thought it was finished. Stories that may have been painful. Stories that may have left scars. But I want to tell you this morning that the scars don't ignore the pain that happened. The scars speak to the healing that has occurred. And that healing has occurred because of the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power at work in your life. In your life. But the only way you truly get to step into that power is with a relationship with Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, if you need to access that resurrection power over your circumstance that you think is finished, over scars that you may be thinking are still too painful, or because you need to step into that relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you this morning. I'm going to hand it over to Len. Guys, don't brush past what this morning means. Do not brush past what has happened and what is happening and what is going to happen by the power of that resurrecting spirit that is available to you, that resides in your heart and goes with you each and every day into your circumstance, into your relationship, that speaks new life where the enemy intended death. I'll invite you then.